And so I went to my Uncle Durand. And my Uncle Durand went to the senior of the manor. And I walked a long way west and a little way south. And there was the night. And I was shivering with the rain. Or with fear. And the day. I was shivering with the sun. Or with fear. Finally, I walked a long way south and then west again. I was on my way to the first fool I had to deal with. And I had plenty of them to deal with.
What is it? What's the matter? What does she want? What's the matter with these crazy fools? What's the matter with you, young lady? I've heard about you. You've been behaving like a bad girl. Standing outside my doors, ragging at my sentries until they fall asleep.
I want a horse. I want the gift of a man, and I want it. I'll get it.
Of course, and I'll give you a kick in the place where it'll do the most good.
Oh, kicks, blows, whichever you like best. I'm used to them by now. But I want a horse. I want the gist of a man, and I want it on death court.
Yeah, the horse. That's a new idea. Do you know who I am, and what I usually want? The village girls tell you? When they come to see me, it usually has to do with some father or brother who's poached my land. The girl is pretty, but a good heart, and we both pitch in. But if the girl is ugly, well, usually I have a good heart too, but not so good as the other way. I'm known in this land for my good-heartedness. But a horse, it's a nasty kind of a bargain.
Oh, but I have been sent by the blessed Saint Michael.
Oh, don't mix the saints up in this sort of thing. Now, that kind of talk was good enough to get you past the centuries, but it's not good enough to get you a horse. Now, a horse costs more than a woman. You're a country girl, you should know that. You're a virgin.
Oh, yes, sire.
Well, maybe we can talk about a small horse. You have lovely eyes.
I want more than a horse, sire.
And you're greedy. Oh, I like that. There are some fools who get angry when a girl asks for too much. But I always say a good thing should cost a lot. It pleases me in a girl. You understand what I mean?
No, sire.
Good. Good. I don't like clear-thinking women in bed. Not in my bed. You understand what I mean?
No, sire.
Well, I don't like idiots either! Now, what is it you're about? What else besides a horse?
Oh, just as I said before, sire. An armed escort is far too long.
Stop that crazy talk. Now, I'm the master here. I can have you sent back where you came from with no better present than the lashes of a whip. You told me, I like a girl to come high, but when she asks for too much, why, just the opposite effect sets in, and I can't... Well, you understand what I mean. Why do you want to go to Chinon?
Well, as I said before, sire, I wish to find the Dauphin.
Well, you are on the high road. Why not the Duke of Burgundy while you're at it? He's more powerful than the Dauphin, and besides, he likes the girls. Not our Dauphin. He runs from wars and women. An hour with either would kill him. Why do you want to go see such a fellow?
Oh, I want an army, monsieur. An army to march upon Orléans.
Well, if you're crazy, you can forget about me. Boudouce! Throw some cold water on this girl and send her back to her father. And don't beat her. It's bad luck to beat a crazy one.
Oh, you won't beat me, monsieur. Oh, you're a kind man. Very kind.
Well, sometimes yes. Sometimes no. But I don't like virgins whose heads come off at night.
And you're very intelligent. which is sometimes better than being kind. Oh, but when a man is both intelligent and kind, well, then that's the very best combination on God's fine earth.
A strange girl. Want a little wine? Why do you think I'm intelligent?
Oh, it shows in your face, monsieur. You're very handsome.
Well, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have said no. I married two rich widows, God bless me. But not anymore. Although, I've tried not to get old too fast. And there are some men who get better looking with age. Ah, you know, it's comic for me to be talking like this with a young shepherd girl who falls out of the sky one bright morning. I am bored here. My officers are animals. I have nobody to talk to. I like a little philosophy now and then. I should like to hear from your mouth what connection you see between beauty and intelligence. People usually say that when a man is handsome, he's stupid.
Oh, hunchbacks talk this way, and people with long noses, or those that will die of a bitter egg that grows in their head. God has the power to create a perfect man, and sometimes he uses his power.
Well, of course you can look at it that way. And now take me, for example. No, I'm not ugly, but sometimes I do wonder if I'm intelligent. No, don't protest. I tell you, there are times when I have problems which seem too much for me. Oh, they come and ask me to decide something, some tactical or administrative point, and all of a sudden, I don't know why my head acts as if it's gone someplace else. And I don't even understand the words that they're saying. Isn't that strange? But I never show it. I roar out an order, one way or the other. That's the main thing in an army. Make a decision. Good or bad, just make it. Things turn out pretty much the same anyway. Still, I do wish I could have done better. This is a small village. To die away your life. They think I'm a great man, but they've never seen anybody else. Like every man, I wanted to be brilliant and remarkable, but I end up hanging a few poor bastards who've deserted from a broken honor. I wanted to shake a nation. Why am I talking to you? You can't help me, and besides, you're crazy.
They told me you would speak this way.
They told me.
Oh, listen to me, nice good Robert, and don't shout anymore. I am about to say something very important. You will be brilliant and remarkable, and you will shake a nation. Because I will do it for you. Your name will go far outside this village.
Just what are you talking about?
Oh, Robbie, don't think any more about my being a girl. That just confuses everything. You'll find plenty of girls who are prettier and will give more pleasure. And will not ask as much. You don't want me.
I don't know. You're all right.
Oh, Robbie, if you want me to help you, then help me. When I say the truth, say it with me.
But it's such a pleasant day. You're such a lovely girl. No, I don't want you any more than that.
Now that you've gotten that out of the way, let's pretend that you've just given me the clothes of a boy, and we're standing here like two comrades talking good sense.
All right, have some wine.
Oh, kind, sweet Robert, great things are about to begin for you.
No,
listen! The English are everywhere, and everywhere they are masters. Why, Brittany and Aunt Jew will go next. English only wait to see which one of them will pay the higher tribute money. The Duke of Burgundy signs a better treaty, and the English give him the Order of the Golden Fleece. They invented just such metal for foreign traders.
Our little monkey, Don Fat Charles, sits in his court and gores, shaking and gibbering. He knows nothing and his court knows nothing. And all will fall to pieces around him. Do you know that, Rabbit? You know our army. Our army of good, brave boys is tired and sick. They believe the English will always be stronger than them. And when an army thinks that way,
end is near.
For the bastard was a good captain and intelligent. So intelligent that nobody will even listen to him. So what does he do? He drowns himself in wine and tells stories of past battles to his whores. Why, I'll put a stop to that, you can be sure.
You'll put a stop to that.
Our best soldiers are like angry bulls. They always want to attack, to have fine for the history books. Oh, they are great champions of individual bravery, but they don't know how to use their cannons, and they get people killed for nothing. That's what they did at Agincourt. When it comes to dying, we're all ready to volunteer. Oh, but what good is it to die? You think just as I do, dear Robert. War isn't a tournament for fancy gentlemen. You must be smart to win a war. You must think and be smart. Oh, but you, who are so intelligent, knew all this the day you were born.
I always said that. I always... Nobody thinks anymore. I used to be a thinker, but nobody paid any attention.
Oh, they will. They will pay attention. Because at this moment, you are the only man in France who can see the future.
I can.
Sit still! Our best... Listen to me, Robert. You know your soldiers. You know they will leave you soon. You know that in order to keep them, you must give them a little thing. A little bread, a little faith, good simple things to fight with.
That's too late.
It isn't too late. A girl comes before you. St. Catherine, St. Marguerite, and St. Michael have told her to come. And you will say that it's not true. But I believe it is true, and that's what matters. A fond girl that says that God is on her side. You can't prove he isn't. You can't. Try it and see. The girl has come a long, hard way, and she has gotten as far as you. And she has convinced you. Yes. Yes, I have convinced you. And why have I convinced so intelligent a man? Because I speak the truth. And it takes a smart head to know the truth.
But where is this idea you said I had?
It's coming just this minute. You are saying to yourself now, if she convinced me, why shouldn't she convince the Dauphin, Dunois, the Archbishop? After all, they're only men like me. Although a good deal less intelligent. All right, that's settled. But now you are saying to yourself, when it comes to dying, soldiers are very intelligent. So she'll have a harder time convincing them. Oh, but I say, no, she won't. She will say English heads are like all others. Hit them hard enough and at the right moment, and we'll march over them to all they are. Oh, they need faith, your soldiers. They need someone to say that God is on their side. Oh, everybody says things like that, but I believe it, and that's what matters. Our soldiers will fight again. You know it. And because you know it, you are the most remarkable man in France.
You think so?
Oh, the whole world will think so. But you must move fast. Like all great political men, you are a realist. At this minute, you are saying to yourself, if the troops believe this girl has come from God, what difference does it make whether she has or not? I will send her to Bourges tomorrow with the courier.
The courier? Well, he does go tomorrow, but with a secret package.
Give me 6 good soldiers and a fine white horse. Oh, I want a white horse, please. And I will do the rest. Oh, but give me a quiet white horse. Because I don't know how to ride yet.
Why, you'll break your neck.
It's up to the blessed St. Michael to keep me in the saddle. I will make you a bet, Robert. I will bet you a man's dress. That if you have 2 horses brought here now, and we both ride out of gallop, I won't fall off. If I don't, then will you believe in me? All right?
Well, thinking. Makes a man weary. I had other plans in mind for this afternoon, as I told you. But any kind of exercise is good for me. Come on.
She made that idiot believe he wasn't an idiot.
It was a man-woman scene. A little coarse for my taste.
Coarse for your taste? The trick of making him believe what she put into his head is exactly what I do in my trade and what you do in yours. Speaking of your trade, sire, forgive a brutal question, but just between ourselves, do you really have the faith?
Why, the child has it. And that is why my judges and I will try to save Joan. To the bitter end, we will try to save her. Our honor demands that we... You think of us as collaborators and therefore without honor. We believed collaboration with you was the only reasonable solution...
And so it was. But when you say reasonable solution, it is often more honorable to omit the word honor.
I say honor. Our poor honor, the little that was left us, demanded that we fight for our beliefs.
Why, you lived on English money.
Yes, and while 800 of your soldiers were at our gates, it was easy for free men to call us traitors. But we lived in an occupied territory, dependent upon the will of your king to feed us or to kill us. We were men. And we wanted to live. We were priests. And we wanted to save Joan. Like most men, we wanted everything. We played a shameful role.
Shameful? Oh, I don't know. You could have played a nobler part, perhaps, if you had decided to be martyrs and fight against us. My 800 soldiers were quite ready to help.
Oh, yes. We knew all about your 800 soldiers. I knew no day without insults and threats. And yet, we stood against you 9 long months before we handed over a girl who had been deserted by everyone but us. They can call us barbarians, but for all their noble principles, they would have handed her over before we did.
You could have given us the girl on the first day. 9 long months. Have been this what?
Was hard for us. God had been silent since Joan's arrest. He hadn't spoken to her or to us. Therefore, we had to do without his counsel. We were here to defend the house of God. During our years in the seminaries, we learned how to defend it. Joan had no training in our seminaries. And yet abandoned, she defended God's house in her own way. Defended it with that strange conflict of insolence and humility, worldly sense and unworldly grandeur. The piety was so sweet and simple to the last moment of the last flame. We did not understand her in those days. We covered our eyes like old, fighting, childish men and turned away so that we wouldn't hear the voice of anguish. She was all alone at the end. God had not come to her. These are terrible times for religious nature, sire, because it brings a doubt and despair unknown to others. But it is then and there that some men will raise their heads. And when they do, it is a noble sight.
Yes, it is. But as a man of politics, I cannot afford the doctrine of man's individual magnificence. I might meet another man who felt the same way. And he might express his individual magnificence by cutting off my head.
Sometimes to console myself, I think how beautiful were all those old priests who tried to protect the child and to save her from what can never now be...
Oh, you speak in large words, sire! Political language has no such words as never now be mended. I have told you that the time will come when we will raise her statue in London.
And the time will come, sire, that we will be remembered only for what we did to her. When men forgiving their own sins, but angry with ours, will speak our names in a curse.